Hi, I'm James Schillinglaw, and I'm here with Dee Cooper, who is the Senior Vice President of Design for Virgin Voyages. And she is responsible for everything that's going to happen on this new ship, which is already out. We're eagerly awaiting it here. It was going to be later this year. And so we're going to talk to her a little bit about the design of the ship. Then that goes from the cabins onto the public spaces to everything. And it is going to be really a revolutionary ship. And I know everybody is eagerly awaiting it. And this is all part of our week-long focus on Virgin Voyages and what it will offer. And you're going to find out about all that and more on Insider Travel Report. Now, first of all, Dee, how are you and where are you?
I'm very good, thank you. I'm in Miami Beach, so in the sunshine with a little bit of rain down here in Florida.
Yeah, and so you're already, the ship will be coming over here later this year. Yes. So you now, as I said, oversee the design of the new Scarlet Lady, and we also have the Valiant Lady is almost on top of that, and then Resilient Lady. These are all sort of twin ships, triplet ships, I should say, right? What is the overall design theme of these ships? What are they? They really look striking on the outside, but what's going to make them different from other cruise ships in the market?
Well, I think the reality is that Virgin wanted to offer the modern customer, the modern sailor, a great adventure and holiday vacation at sea. And when we stood back and we looked at the ships and we looked at sailing and being on holiday at sea and on holiday in the Caribbean or the Mediterranean, mm-hmm. I think we all fell, you know, the Virgin Voyages sort of design team, we fell in love with all those things. So the way that we talk about the design of our ships is the modern romance of sailing. So we wanted to take sort of the quintessential aspects of sailing and voyaging, hence we're called Virgin Voyages, and execute it in a bang up to date and modern way for consumers of the 21st century.
Well, clearly from the exterior and from the interior design that I've seen, it's really a very different looking ship. And I'm sure that's a lot of what you're overseeing now and trying to make this really happen and make this kind of reality. Let's start with the accommodations you offer. What's kind of the range of rooms and suites? I don't know how many exactly you have, but and what are the basic decor of these cabins, these suites?
So we have... Well, I think we're very proud of our ship that we have 83% of our cabins have ocean views.
Okay.
So our ship is actually constructed, it's known as a tall ship or a tower ship. So we have the main deck 7 promenade deck, and then it's a tower, which allowed us to have all these cabins which are sea viewed. And 93% of them are actually ocean, have ocean viewing balconies. We have 78 suites on board, so our sort of VIP premium offer.
That's the Rockstar suite, right?
That's right. And then we have over 1,100 cabins of different types, from insider cabins through to balcony cabins, etc. We even have cabins where you can have four people sleep in them, and there's two double beds. So that was
only Virgin would have that.
Well, that's where Richard Branson says he's going to stay, because he'd stay with all his friends. I think that what we try to do with the cabins is really enjoy the sea. As I said before, when I first cruised, I had never cruised before I started working for Virgin Voyages, and I went on the ship and I went into this cabin, which was like an oasis, an escape from the rest of the ship, and it just had this awesome view of the sea.
Sure.
I mean, where in the world, in the best hotels, you never have view, you know, 180-degree views of the sea where nobody overlooks you at all. So we really wanted to celebrate the view. So our cabins, our standard sailor cabins, are designed to focus very much on the windows, and so that people can sort of imagine and watch the waves roll by as they sit and stare out of their bed. The other thing we realized is that people like to escape in their cabins, and we wanted to let them do that, and whether they want to eat there or invite friends. And we actually decided to transform the bed, if sailors wish, into what we call the sea bed, where it transforms into a L-shaped sofa.
Oh, wow.
So you can invite people round, invite friends round, without the embarrassment of inviting them back to your sort of hotel bedroom. So, you know, primarily it's a great hotel bedroom with views of the sea and all the modern things that consumers want in their hotel suite, but it also offers this flexibility to transform into a lounge and let friends come back and have a drink before you go out.
No, that's a wonderful idea. I know most time, you know, I've been on a lot of cruise ships and it's pretty much the same. You have a bed, you have maybe a sitting area, and then, you know, but it doesn't, the bed doesn't transform. Maybe the second bed, you know, if you want to have a pull out couch or something, that transforms, but it's not the original bed. Now let's talk a little bit about those opulent suites, the Rockstar. What can, and other things like it, what can guests expect?
Well, in the Rockstar suites, we actually worked with Tom Dixon. So the famous English eccentric designer. We needed another eccentric Brit involved in the project, as well as Richard Branson.
Richard was enough, right?
We have to have another, yes. So we're very proud on our mega rock star deck, which is our the 15th floor or deck of the ship. We actually have outdoor showers. So you have an indoor shower and an outdoor shower.
And, you
know, again, where in the world can you, you know, feel like you're on your private yacht, have your outdoor shower, and then go and sip some champagne as you lay back in your lounge. They're a very sort of indulgent, warm, purple and blue aesthetic. So again, sort of giving you this sort of feeling of protection while you look out at these grand vistas over the sea. And we have, showers are important to us because we actually have an inside shower that still allows you views outside the window. Mm-hmm. So we call it a peek-a-view shower. So
hopefully it's a one-way peekaboo, but that's
well, you can cover it up if you want to.
But
I think the reality is we wanted people to feel like they were rock stars in our suites, and right, to really sort of kick back, lay back, and enjoy being at sea. In the biggest rock star suite, the mega rock star suite, we actually gave you some guitars on the wall as well. We have a Stratocaster and then some other cool guitars in there as well. So you really, really can channel your inner rock star and dance around and strum some tunes on those amazing guitars.
Well, if I could play, I would do that. Otherwise, I just have to turn out the music of somebody else and just pretend.
Well, there is record players, so you can
there
just
you go air guitar,
and then the air guitar, right? Yeah.
Now you've been at Virgin a few years now. Starting out, obviously, you worked on the aircraft and the interiors,
yes,
airport lounges, which I want to be honest with you, I've always loved the Virgin Atlantic airport lounges. One of some of my favorites. Now, what design features of Virgin overall kind of carry through to Virgin Voyages, if any? Obviously, you're coming on board, so you have that aesthetic. What is the Virgin approach to Virgin Voyages design?
So I would say probably two things. The very obvious thing is the livery of the ship.
Right.
So we very much wanted the ship to look different. And we thought, you know, we looked at all the amazing sort of competitor ships, and they have some beautiful mainly white ships, and we wanted our ship to feel different. And we actually ended up, you know, again, very much focusing on our love of shipbuilding and the sea and historic sailing. We actually ended up creating a silver ship, which is the same as our aircraft, very similar in color right. to our aircraft livery, with the silver and grays and touches of red, you know, so everybody knows that we're Virgin. So it was great fun creating the Virgin script, as we call the sort of written logo on the funnel of the ship. So it's one right. of the biggest icons we have in the Virgin Group. We also really, we took inspiration again from voyages of old, with where people would have mastheads, often ladies, painted on their ships. So we, and Virgin Atlantic famously has the Flying Ladies.
Sure.
So we actually decided to put mermaids on our ships. So the Scarlet Lady is actually a mermaid who's emblazoned on the front bow of the ship. And in fact, she is also the name of one of our aircraft. So we have some symbiosis there as well.
No, you know, and I know the other names in a Valiant Lady and Resilient yeah. Lady. I, you know, how many, when you add more ships, you're going to have to figure out some other good
more
names.
More lady ship names. I think the other thing I'd say is in common with how we approach design is sort of attitudinally.
Right.
We know that the sort of modern consumer is sort of hard living, hard working, demands a lot from life. And, you know, in the same way as when you're in a great city like New York, you want the best coffee, you want to go uptown to be glamorous, you want to go downtown and have, you know, a bit more of a relaxation. We knew we wanted to give our sailors, as we call our customers, that choice on board the ship.
Sure.
So we decided to work with some amazing boutique designers from around the world who normally you would associate with restaurants and bars and small hotels, as we knew that together with them we would create amazing spaces and choice of spaces for our sailors to enjoy across the ship. So we actually called that team the Creative Collective. And I think it was that approach to design which very much came from my background at Virgin Atlantic, where we wanted to sweat every square inch out of this ship so that sailors could enjoy every day they are on holiday, on vacation, on board our ship.
Now the those designers you turned to really were not never people who had worked on a cruise ship before, right?
Yeah, so we were, so I like to make my job difficult. we actually did something, we did pair them up with what we call an architect of record, Giacomo Mortola, who had built millions of ships. In fact, he spent his career building ships.
So he could say, no, you can't do that.
He was the one that said, you can't do that. Or if you want to do that, why don't you try and do it like that? Right. So basically, He educated us all. He taught us all the sort of the infrastructure and the rules of shipbuilding, and all our designers worked through him in order for our designs to be buildable on board the ship. But yes, we did have great fun with the fact that none of us had worked on board ships before. And I think in reality that allowed us to learn, to challenge conventions. I would say, you know, we've made some good learnings along the ways regarding materialities and the toughness of, you know, the rocking motion and everything that goes on board a ship. But I think, you know, the designers have done a great job with thinking about how to make a cruise ship different and appeal to this sort of young at heart, as we call our sailors, or adult by design type customers.
No, and that is absolutely true. You are adult only, and that's clearly. Yes. And then these are people hopefully attracting new to cruise that hadn't thought about this. But
yes.
And let's talk a little bit about those public areas, some of those public areas that were designed. Yeah, tell us a little bit about, for example, the design of the jogging track. I think there's an upper deck jogging track, and we all know
there
what
is.
Those look like, but you've made it a little different, I think.
Yeah, so we, so I think in all honesty, and I apologize, you know, some of us land lovers that hadn't cruised before had some false perceptions of the cruise industry. We sort of thought of it as slightly, you know, people didn't do much and they just ate on board ships.
Well, that's what we do. That's all we do. We just eat and we wait for the next meal because we have to plan, you know.
No, that's not. But the reality is you have time to do so much when you're on board a ship because it's such a fantastic holiday. So we were, when we stood back and we thought about activities, gym, athletics, etc. on board the ship, we were like, how do we do this differently and how do we offer customers more? We knew that we wanted to have the gym right at the front of and the top of the ship so that you've got those awesome views when you're on the runner or on the peloton, that you can look out the window and see the sea and the waves outside. But you know, when we stood back, we were like, oh, how do we do an athletic club? And we wanted people to be able to work outside, work out the way they would in Venice Beach or those sort of places. And we actually realized, and working with these amazing designers, Concrete in Amsterdam, we came up with the concept of this halo, the runway or the jogging track that goes around the funnel at the aft of the ship.
Wow.
And, well, now, other ships do have jogging tracks, but the fact that we've elevated it allows people to run and not trip over sunbeds or run around the lower decks where you don't always get the views. So I think it made a hero of exercising, and it shows how our ship is different. It's an active ship. We all like to party, but in this world, we have to rebalance. So we eat too much and then we go for a run the next day to work it off. So we created this amazing jogging track as a symbol of how we're different. And of course, we had to paint it red so that everybody could see this symbol, this halo of Virgin Voyages when she's moored up.
That's amazing. And of course, you also carried over to the design of the athletic club, I guess.
Yes,
you
know, that's right. Same approach. So that whole area.
Yeah. So
being that's very active.
Yeah. And then the other part, you have you have places where you can relax. There's a design of, you call it the dock, I believe, which is your outdoor lounge space, right?
That's right. So way back on the lower deck, on deck 7, we have the dock that was designed by Roman and Williams, of places such as the Standard High Line in New York, or the Ace in New York, or the Standard down here in Miami. And, you know, I think the reality is that when we're on a ship, we all love that connection with water. We all want to kick back and have the salt water sort of rush through our hair or blow our hair, as it were. And we realized that the aft of the ship was almost like a dock, a pier type experience.
Sure.
So we created a very sort of relaxed outside, rustic but elevated rustics eating and drinking and relaxing experience. It's a sort of place where you'll sort of go down in the mornings at 11 o'clock, and you'll have maybe a Bloody Mary to revive yourself on the morning after, and you'll realize you've had such a great day relaxing, sitting in the sun, watching those waves roll by, that it's, you know, that it's late afternoon by the time you sit up and go, oh wow, I've sat here all day and had time to enjoy a day of doing nothing.
That's
which
great.
We all know is what you want to do on holiday.
Well, no, absolutely. And of course, that's, you mentioned the previous night, and you have designed the nightlife area, the Manor, I believe it's called. And so if you spent all night at the Manor and you end up at the dock, but talk a little bit about the design of the Manor, the nightlife area.
So we knew we had to have a kick-ass nightclub.
Right.
On Virgin Voyages, and we really wanted it just to be a great space, a great place to hang out. So like many great nightclubs, it's actually quite a theatrical space. It's over two floors, two decks, so deck 6 and deck 7. And like many great nightclubs, it sort of moves you round and through. You enter into almost like a maze of mirrors. You can go into open spaces, the central dance area, into closed sort of little corners, and you can see your friends, but you have to go upstairs, downstairs and around the corners to get them. So like a great nightclub, it sort of sets the scene and holds you all together so that when the music starts pumping, you can all start dancing and enjoying yourself. Whether you like to watch or whether you like to be watched, it gives you the choice.
I date myself. It sounds to me like a little like Studio 54.
We did look back to the best nightclubs in the world, and Studio 54 is obviously the best. No. So there was a little bit of Studio 54, Diana Ross, and a little bit of punk in there as well, just to bring that edginess into this beautiful ship's nightclub. Really great fun space. Three bars.
We wouldn't expect less from Virgin, let me tell you, for that one, right?
That's right. I mean, we did three bars. There's upstairs bars, downstairs bars. You can even go outside, as we all know, when you get too sweaty at nightclub, you like to go out. And we even brought the toilets inside, the washrooms inside the nightclub. So almost to keep that magic, as we all know, once you go outside and you look at yourself in the cold light of day, you might take yourself off to bed. So especially for ladies, actually, going to the toilet in the nightclub, the washrooms, is part of the experience where you all chat and make sure you look all right for going out dancing again. So it's a great fun place. We can't wait to share it with everybody.
And then, of course, when you want to retire, you can go back to your VIP deck, which we talked a little bit about. What was the design thought in that whole deck? You have your, I assume that's where you were, your rock star suites and things like
that. Yes, Rich's rooftop, as we call the VIP deck. So obviously we have, you know, lots and lots and lots of big sunbeds. We even have sort of raised sunbeds where you're in sort of cabanas for you to hang out and sort of collapse in and just let the day roll past. Obviously, we have a bar up there so we can make sure we service and look after you. And it just has awesome views in the sort of Titanic, Kate Winslet way of looking out over the bow and the front of the ship.
No, that's great. And so then the other thing, I guess, is you obviously have something to eat on board. And so you have some marquee restaurants. And I know those have all got to be very different, right?
Yeah, we have lots of restaurants. And I think, you know, at Virgin, we knew when we go back to this sort of hard living, demanding consumer, we knew that people wanted choice. Our sailors needed choice. And even if it was a choice of restaurants, or even if it was, I wanted to have pizza, or I want to have a great cup of coffee, we knew we needed to have the infrastructure that provided for them. But we have over 7 main restaurants on the ship with a variety of different seating numbers from 100 to sort of just over 200. So they're much smaller than on most ships.
So there isn't a main dining room per se? Or
No, we decided not to do that. And we broke up the ship. So we have a choice. So we have our sort of glamorous restaurant, The Wake, which is right at the aft of the ship, as the name would suggest. Where, again, we were a little bit inspired by the Titanic. And you have your grand staircase that goes down into The Wake restaurant with your sort of, when you want to get dressed up and have your glamorous night out, this is the place to go. So almost like a steak and chop house, seafood restaurant. So it's very glamorous. It's lots of woods with pink marble inlays, with these huge windows that look out over the rolling, the wake away from the ship. And we also even lit the wake at nighttime so that people
can see amazing. It.
So that's a really exciting restaurant. We then have another restaurant called Pink Agave, which is our Mexican restaurant. We all love spicy food and a modern, contemporary Mexican restaurant is what we created. So it's, again, a Tom Dixon design. So lots of rich blues and pinks, sort of Mexican barragan in styled architecture with amazing Tom Dixon lighting, where you walk through almost a sort of octopus tentacle of lights to actually enter the restaurant. So, and fantastic Mexican food, as you can imagine. We have our other premium restaurants. We have the Test Kitchen, which is almost like a nod to Michelin star dining, where right. you have a set menu. So we actually wanted to break the rules and give people loads of choice, but we also wanted to reinstate rules and say, right, this is a set menu. We have, this is what you get to eat in this restaurant. And it's almost, as I said, Michelin star in its approach. And we had great fun with Concrete, the mad Dutch designers, creating almost a laboratory style eatery. So very high reflective glass, turquoises, whites and blues, and stainless steel, of course, right. to look very, very different. The other thing we actually knew was the most important thing in many restaurants is to be able to see the chef. So we actually created these huge horseshoe eatery bars where you sit around the chefs as they prepare and plate the food for you, which is very amazing.
That's going to be an incredible experience. Absolutely.
And then we have some more relaxed restaurants. So we have Razzle Dazzle, which is a crazy name. It was actually the name of the camouflage they used on in World War One on the ships. So you didn't know if the ship was sailing forwards or backwards or port or starboard. You used to have these striped patterns. Okay. So we were inspired by that name. And we created the Razzle Dazzle restaurant, which is almost like a plant-based or a vegetarian forward restaurant. So you can have meat, but we have a lot of vegetarian dishes as well. But it is also where you get your comfort food and you can eat, you know, a mac and cheese quickly before you go out dancing or you go out on your adventure for the day. Sure. We have a great Italian restaurant called Extra Virgin, obviously. And then we have Gumbay, which is a Korean barbecue right at the top of the ship on deck 15. And each table has a grill. So it's a very sort of social experience where you either can go with all your friends and someone normally in your group wants to cook the food, or if they don't, the waiters will help. And you freshly grill your food at the table. And there's lots of Korean sort of drinking games where you all shout Gumbay or various other things as you're eating in that space. We're very proud because we're the first ship actually to have a Korean restaurant on board. So that's
I can't think of any other really. That's people have had, that's incredible. And plus the sounds like the venue is pretty spectacular up there.
It is, with awesome views. It was the concept by a soft room who actually did Virgin Atlantic's lounge at Heathrow as well, the very famous one, was rock pools and that sort of naturalesque looking out in circles out over the view of the ship. But I think, you know, what we tried to do with the restaurants was give people choice, both the choice in elevated dining experiences, relaxed dining experiences, where you could eat quickly, or whether you wanted to sort of kick back and take 3 hours to have a meal and have all seven courses, etc. So we very much gave people choice. So I think the problem is you'll have too many favorite restaurants on board.
Yeah, it sounds like, some days on those five it's if you have the 5 day cruise, there's not, you don't, you're
they're almost as, yeah, you almost have to go back on another cruise to.
Maybe that's the strategy, I guess. That'll get you repeaters, so you could they all want to try all the restaurants, right?
Yeah, and even the galley, as we call our main breakfast restaurant, was sort of built around the concept of like the farmers markets and the eateries where people have choice and things are made specially for them. So we have, whether you want a panini, whether you want a fruit salad, whether you want, in the daytime, a burger, tacos, we have all that choice. And, if you just want sushi and your friend wants an all day breakfast, they can do that. And then you come back and sit together as you would in these sort of farmer markets, Italy type experiences that we all love in the modern world.
Now, with the pandemic and everyone that said that would be the end of the cruise ship buffet. Do you have something like that now, or are you?
So the galley is the closest we have to the buffet. Right. We actually don't have a buffet. We decided not to have buffet because of that sort of queuing.
Right.
And almost because with sustainability, it helps you to more effectively manage your food volumes and reduce waste. So that's why we created the galley around these sort of almost stalls of different types of food that you order at individually. So everything's made to order, so nice and fresh and hot.
So almost like food trucks at sea, I guess, right?
That's food trucks at sea, parked closely together. Yes.
That's great. Now let's talk the design. I assume you have a theater and other entertainment.
Yes, we do. Our theater is we call the theater the Red Room, and it's right, you know, in very sensible cruise architecture. It's right in the bow of the ship, so utilizing that triangular shape that you get at the front of the ship. But we did think about our theatre differently. So we talked about transformation, and we challenged ourselves that on the ship, spaces need to do different things. And so actually our theatre has four different setups. Okay. So we work with some amazing architects, work architects from New York, who are very experienced. They had done the Banff in New York and places like that, where the theatre itself is flexible. So there's a traditional sort of proscenium stage, you know, with an elevated stage and rack seating, but there's also what they call a transverse or alley stage. So the seats are almost like bleachers, at high school, where they retract in and they come down from the stage, and then we create an alley stage which allows for a more intimate theatre experience. Or indeed, all the seating can be pushed right back, and like a great games hall at school, it becomes a flat floor where you can dance and party away the night. So we created this whole flexibility and this ability to change. So we're aiming that sort of on the first few nights of your voyage, it will be in one theatre setup, and you can enjoy the show created by the sort of contemporary theatre teams that we're working with. And then by night three, you go back there again, and it's in a completely different configuration for you to enjoy.
Yeah, no, in fact, I a couple of years ago when we had the party, and I think it was a theatre in Times Square, when they introduce the entertainment, it's very unique. It's very different, very pop-up, as you said. And all of a sudden, you'll be walking and everybody will be, you'll have all these
dancing around you. Yes.
Yeah. Now, do you have a separate movie theater or nothing like that? Or
no, we do have, gosh, I can't remember. We do have a karaoke room, which is not.
Oh, okay. Much more important than the movie theater, yeah.
But we decided not to have per se a big movie theater, because we know that people will go back to their cabins and watch great movies. But we do have I can't remember the name of the karaoke. We do have this karaoke room space where we have the different rooms where people can go, whether it's four of you, six of you, 12 of you, and you can watch a movie in there. Or indeed, you could sing songs and do karaoke.
That's great. No, that's far better than the movie theater. Although I have to tell you, after the pandemic, I'm kind of wishing I was in a movie theater.
I agree.
It was five days at sea, though. That's kind of tough to do that. But yeah, now I wanted to ask you, is there a traditional atrium, as we all know, in cruise ships, or you don't have that? There is.
Yes, we do have. We have a double height atrium that we call the roundabout. Okay. So we're very proud that when the customers, the sailors, first board the ship, they will board on deck 7, which is our promenade deck, and they will walk straight into the heart of the ship. So what's great about the atrium spaces, the roundabout space as we call it, is that you can see the beam, the breadth of the ship. So you really feel like you're on board. Okay. And obviously, because we are a different ship, we wanted people to quickly understand what's available to them on board. So we have in the corner, we have a DJ who is playing some records. And we actually have a vinyl record shop on board, sort of nodding back to the sort of nostalgia of Richard Branson. We have an ice cream, so you can grab an ice cream and go for a promenade around that deck 7 promenade deck. We have, you know, go and grab a beer. And you can, you know, hang out in a big red chart room table, which almost plots the navigation of the journey at sea and your destinations you're going to. So, and then when you in the center of the atrium or the roundabout is a right. big glamorous staircase where you walk down and you're into the main sort of shopping and entertainment area with a glamorous cave bar, which is a really sort of premium martini type bar, reminiscent of the amazing New York hotel bars that we all love and can't wait to get back to.
Yeah, well, we're back. We're almost back now. I think they just changed the rule, so now you can go to a New York bar after midnight, as if this one. So, but we're looking to do the same on Virgin Voyages ships, and it sounds like you can kind of hit the ground running when you walk in the ship and you're in that atrium, and you can just start immediately to get your experience.
I think that's what it's all about, is ensuring people have the best holiday, best vacation they can at sea, and they get the choice whether they do want to party or equally if they want to relax, work out at the gym, hang out in the spa. We have an amazing hammam where you sit on the warmed benches and we've got views out the window so you can just watch those waves roll by. So however you like to spend your time on holiday, you know, detoxing, sure. indulging, detoxing again, we have all the choices for you.
That's great. Now, are there any other spaces you really want to highlight? Any other design elements that our audience of travel advisors who are going to be booking this ship should be relaying on to their clients?
I mean, we're very proud that when we designed this ship, we did design it around sort of almost inspired by modern city living. So technology, wearables, being able to sort of book through your app into your next hotel, being able to order food back to your room. We have the amazing Shake for Champagne service that's on our app. Wherever you're sitting on the ship, you should be able to order champagne and it will come to you.
Well, I expect that right here. I don't know. Is someone going to order me champagne
now? Maybe the app isn't working where you're located. But I think it's a reality of having the great big spaces like the theatre, the Red Room, the Manor, as well as the small spaces, you know, that people want to enjoy, and a few little bits of fun which only Virgin would have. We have, you know, Squid Ink, which is our tattoo bar. Or
I forgot about that. You're the only tattoo bar at sea, right?
But equally, I would say I love the coffee shop, which is located on deck 7. And again, we heroed those windows so you can both look out the view outside, but equally watch all the people walking around the ship inside while you have a great cup of coffee. So I think that it's about choice and flexibility and being able to do what you want to do on board the ship. But we did try to have some fun. We have a yoga space, a proper room set up for yoga, so there aren't people sort of sweating on running machines beside you, which is really nice.
Sure.
We have a sort of tranquility spa where you have an amazing view while you're having your mani and pedi out across the waves. So we have lots of fun, as well as the pool deck and the pool bars, which we have a double height pool bar in the center of the ship. So lots and lots of different spaces for you to enjoy and to imagine yourself in all the different modes you are when you're on vacation.
No, that's great. Well, Dee, I want to thank you for taking the time, because it sounds amazing. We can't wait to see it. We hoped to see it last year, and now we're going to see it.
She's coming. She'll be coming soon. She's sailing in August in the UK, which is all very exciting for us to get back and get her sailing. And then when we're bringing her back over here for October, so we'll be very proud to welcome you all on board in October and come and see our amazing ship and tell us what you think of her.
Absolutely. Well, great. And as we've been talking, hopefully you've been seeing some of the images that we're going to be superimposing on this video. It's just an amazing, amazing ship that we're really, you know, it's almost like the anticipation is building even more now. Yeah. So it's a crazy time.
Welcome on board. Everybody, welcome on board. We look forward to having you.
I'm James Schillinglaw, and this is Insider Travel Report.